Welcome to another edition of Why Are You Awake? Paul Farvar here, your host. This week features comedian Abby Sanchez. Check it out. If you're listening to this podcast, go over to the YouTube page and watch it. You can see how handsome we are, us young people. That was him laughing. Check it out. Don't forget to check out Abby as well on his website and his social medias, and also check out our sponsor.
Hey, gang. As some of you know, I used to be a practicing lawyer in Chicago. I no longer practice, but from time to time, I need a lawyer. And when I need a lawyer, I call my friend Scott Shapiro. Scott Shapiro has been practicing law for over 25 years in Chicago. He does it all, from workers' compensation to personal injury, employment issues, and even entertainment law and contract needs. If you need a lawyer, call my friend Scott. 312-648-8800. That's 312-648-8800. Or you can email him at scott@scottshapirolegal.com. Tell him I sent you. You're welcome.
I don't know why I clap.
I mean, it's a good cue. I learned that making those videos where it's like, oh, okay, so now I know where to start.
Yeah, it helps.
Oh,
yeah.
I did a self-tape recently, and I was like,
you did a self-tape?
I had to. Like, I mean, they just wanted a tape.
Yeah.
But I just like, hi.
Yeah, that's like, cute.
Don't do that. That's cute. That's very patronizing. Thank you, sir.
Speaking of patronizing, let's start this shit. Maybe this was just started.
We haven't been.
I guess we are, yeah.
I like a good soft roll in, like, hey, how you doing? You know?
Comedian Abby Sanchez joins us. Abby.
Yay. This is another cue to start over again.
We're talking about self-taping. People are like, who gives a shit about that stuff?
Hey, man. It's the life.
Abby Sanchez. We have a long history.
Yeah. Not always been the best. No, I'm just joking.
It hasn't been the best.
No, it has. We've never had beef.
I feel like there were times where we genuinely didn't like each other.
Shit. News to me. Wait, is that what you brought in this podcast?
No, I've always felt like you didn't like me sometimes. Like, God, he's so mean.
I know. Yeah, I like to bully people.
But I am too. And then people think that. And then they find out that we're just, that's the way we... I think when you're of a certain age, that's how you communicate with people.
It's with bullying. Yeah. And I do it to like, I'll do it to younger comics. And they're like, what? Like,
why does he hate me? Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's like, if I know what kind of triggers you a little bit.
Oh, you squeeze. Yeah.
I'll say it and just to trigger you. And then it's like, all right, man, calm down. See how you're overreacting to this little thing?
If you don't react, it doesn't work. Yeah. That's true.
There's certain people that I just love. Like, there you go. Let's see what you get out of you.
You're a cyber bully too. You'll find something. and I learned how to quiet your bullying with that grimace picture.
Oh, yeah. That pretty much ended everything.
That's where I think you stopped cyberbullying
me. Yeah, I'll bring it up a couple times. Like when you were just accepting all the bot friend requests.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would just do like, it was like straight catfish.
They're like hot girls on Facebook. This was years ago.
Yeah.
They would add you and you would say yes to everybody.
Yeah, because it was just a
comedian.
You just wanted
numbers.
But the best part of those is like the first. Like,
but then you busted me on. That's what
I started busting everybody.
Yeah, you're like, Paul, you really think this girl is following you?
Yeah, and like everybody, I had a hashtag. It was catfish call out. Like I just called out anybody.
Catfish call out. That's right.
But my favorite part of those is like when you go through the profile and it's like the six pictures or seven pictures of like that girl that's in a profile, and then all of a sudden it's like an Indian dude
guy.
Or like an African dude with some jewelry on, just like complete African. I'm like, oh shit,
he didn't even go back and fix his shit.
No, he just left the six. Like no one goes past the six picture apparently. I was in deep on this guy.
Yeah, you busted me on that. I remember that. I don't even remember. I think the first time we worked together, I didn't know who you were. I was doing a Mikey O show at Joe's. And you were headlining, and I'm like, who is this guy? And everyone's like, oh, you don't know who he is? And it was a weird show because they were, I don't know if you remember it, and I don't remember too much about who else was on the show.
Well, was I headlining and closing out?
You were headlining. You were listed as a headliner.
Joe's or Watra?
What's the second thing you said?
Watra on 47th and Pulaski.
No, I wouldn't go south there. I would go south of Congress without calling my parents.
You activate the air tag like, okay, follow me, mom,
I'm okay. No, it was at Joe's, but you didn't like your set, and you didn't you of course always crush, but you had a bad set. But it was also something weird happened then. I don't know if you remember it, but like I think one of the comedians went before you, and he was swearing, and then Joe Mikey got mad at him. and then it just set a weird vibe in the room. Do you know what? I vaguely remember.
I don't remember that. But like, I also don't remember ever having a bad set. So I was like, I think you're like.
I would think you remember, but you were.
This like, is why you just get people by like lying, like clickbait. Is that what this is? Obviously, Sanchez has a bad set.
I just wanted to get you admitting. Yeah. No, so that was the first time. You weren't doing Laugh Factory yet. So it was that long ago.
Yeah, because no one knew me. Right. Because they thought I was just a Mikey O guy. Yeah.
It was a Latino room that night.
All Mikey O shows were Latino rooms.
I haven't done him in a while, but
he doesn't do them no more.
Oh, he doesn't do
it? He does here and there, but yeah.
But anyway, that's where I saw you, and I was like, I don't get it. But you didn't. you didn't have a good set. It wasn't like headliner. You know what I mean? Like everyone's doing like 15,
yeah.
And you had to do a long set. And I was like, and you didn't like your set either. I remember I was like, something happened. Maybe you had a heckler or some shit. I mean, this is probably like 12 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would have been when I first started. So yeah.
Yeah.
I might not have been ready.
It might have been your first time headlining.
Yeah,
too.
I might not have been able to do 20 minutes at a time or whatever you needed. I mean,
was you still 20? Can't do.
dude, I could do at least 22.
22. Solid. And then the next thing you know, you're like on all the we're on all the shows together at all the shows in Chicago. And I was like, oh, this piece of shit.
I know. I was like, fucking guy.
But it was different back then because I think when we started, we all kind of knew each other. And we were like, when did you start?
I started 2010, but the thing is I didn't go the traditional Northside route where I was like doing mics and I didn't get to know the open mic people. I think the only mic I ever did really was Cole's.
Okay.
And a couple like random, like.
You never did my mic. I know that.
Lottie's, the one it was in Lottie's the basement.
Is great. Yeah.
I used to do, those are the only two that I did. And then I was getting so many of the Mikey O shows that like.
You didn't need to.
Yeah. I just started using it as open mic. And then I know I did the Laugh Factory open mic a couple times as well.
Was I hosting it when you did it?
No, it was Tomasulo, Pat Tomasulo, and he kind of fucked me on that one.
What did he do?
Well, before, I mean, this is like...
So the open mic was on Wednesdays at Laugh Factory. Originally when he did it.
Six.
When it first started...
He wanted you to do 3 minutes, but like a late night TV. Yeah, cleanish. So, but he didn't always show up. So Pat Tomasulo he's like, all right, well, hey, Jamie's not here, so just do whatever you want. And then I happened to be the first comic up. And I went and I did whatever I want. And then I sit down. And then Pat's like, oh, my mistake. Jamie is here. So make sure.
That's funny.
So then I went upstairs to meet with Jamie afterwards. Like, oh, buddy, you're a little bit dirty. And I was like, oh, fuck. Tomasulo set me up, man. And then, but.
He did it purposely.
Yeah. But at that time, like doing a Laugh Factory wasn't like doing a Laugh Factory now.
What do you mean?
It was probably 15 people there on a Friday, Saturday night. Like,
oh, crowd-wise.
Yeah. So like getting in there. It would have been good. Like I'm at the Laugh Factory, but at the same time, I was like, oh man, this has been rough because it's a big room for like 15 people.
Yeah, those first shows, and that's funny. Like the original cast of people that were there before me, there was no one there. There was like 50 mm-hmm. people in a room.
And they started doing headliner shows too. I don't know if you remember that. They had a couple headliners coming from out of town and run weekends, and it was just like.
Those are the only times it did well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy came, Chris D'Elia. I think I got to open one of those too.
Who was
back in?
There was a black dude. I can't remember his name, but he came through.
Cat Williams.
Yeah, he did 3,000.
Just want to get clickbait. Yeah. Like, Cat Williams
was at the Laugh Factory.
Hmm?
No, but at that time it wasn't what it is now.
No,
I did get passed eventually, but just by
Jamie.
No, just by. So my trick back in the day was I would look. They used to post the picture of the lineup on Facebook. So I would look at the lineup and I would be like, that person's out of town. That person I know is not showing up. So I would go to the Laugh Factory and be like, oh, you know, such and such isn't here yet. And then like, I was cool. Like, that's why I tell everybody be cool with the staff. Cause then at the time, the bartender was like, Abby's right here. Like just have him do 6 minutes. And I went up and did 6 minutes and I would crush the 6 minutes. And then eventually I started getting regular weekends.
That's a good move. A lot of people did that.
They got it from me.
There was a guy who just sit at the bar. I don't want to say his name, but he would just wait. And then like, as soon as you walk in, like he'd leave, like, oh, I didn't think you were going to show up.
Like, and it's what I would do. I would legit, I'm like, I know this person
out of town.
They just, not even that. They just posted a flyer of a show they're doing somewhere. I'm like, they're not going to make
it. That's a good move.
Yeah.
You fucking sneaky bastard.
I was Vulture Gang. I was picking up the dead bodies, but it worked. That's why I tell all the comics. Hang out at the show because someone might not show up or they need to stretch. And if you're there,
right,
you'll be the person there.
Like, that's a good move.
Yeah.
So you started the non-traditional way and sneaked your way into the North Side. Where else were you going?
I'm from the North Side, so it's not like I snuck my way.
True. Well, where were you going up other than Mike Yost shows then if you weren't doing...
I was really only doing Mike Yost shows.
Yeah.
Like, and then if I worked with somebody on the Mike Yost show that ran a show, I would randomly do a show, like something like that.
You right. To do but a set.
I didn't really do a lot of bar shows, like, unless it was just random people from Mike. He was like, oh, I want to try a comedy show. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty much all I was doing. But they weren't, I mean, they were dead bar shows. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they were quality.
I think
Mike Yost
was
the only one that had a good bar show.
I don't think I did any bar shows. I think I went from hosting my own open mic, and then I got passed to the Laugh Factory. I had to host that open mic for like almost 2 years after Pat left.
Yeah. I hosted a couple times, but I was bad. I wasn't bad at it, but I would definitely like tell the comic that just went up, like, hey, you did this wrong. Like, I would say it. I wouldn't pull them to the side. I would say it on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just tell them, and then they're like, oh, okay. And then, like, I forgot. There was one guy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So he went up, and I was just like, bro, that was so depressing. That wasn't even comedy. And then he's like, and then he just, like, he left anyway. He's probably like, do another mic. But I was just like, that was, like, come on, man. What are you doing here?
It's funny when a lot of these comics who are blowing up right now, like, they'll say, I remember when you hosted the open mic. I'm like, whoa, was I a dick? And they're like, yeah. I was like, really? I was kind of always trying to be nice, but if someone ate a dick,
There were times where, like, people just, they had that pack mentality as far as, like, a mic. I was hosting Three Dead Moose one time.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a group there.
It's an
open
mic in Chicago.
Yeah. There was a group there that the guy who lost the fantasy football had to do, he had to do 3 minutes. And it was legit. It was 12 dudes, which means there's 12 people that aren't comics in a room that you could be working with.
Yeah.
And then everyone just went up and just roasted those guys. And they kept calling them, like, this was the time with the Duke lacrosse team, like, got busted.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just kept calling them, like, lacrosse players, blah, blah. And I went up, I was like, hey, these are audience members.
They're the only ones.
Right. That, like, who cares if this guy's punishment is to go up and do 3 minutes? It's an mic.
Yeah.
But use them as an audience. It's such a joke. And everyone just wanted, I was like, and I had to tell him, like, what are we doing? And there was one guy that got mad at me.
Yeah.
I forgot what his name was. He's like, Hobby was so mean to me, blah, blah. And I messaged him, like, hey, man, I'm just trying to get you guys to get better. Like,
right.
Don't waste these opportunities. And
that's the thing. Like, a lot of times, Justin and I were just talking, like, we were in Austin, or I was in Austin, and these comics were doing these shows, obviously hadn't done comedy for a while. And they're shitting on the small crowd.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Right. These people paid to come here.
That's one of my biggest
pet peeves.
They don't know. Unless the audience is, like, straight up berating you or, like, it's out of control, like, and they're heckling, there's no reason to ever say they suck. They came there.
Yeah.
They're
it's
there.
It's not their fault that you didn't draw 200 people.
Right. Everyone else that didn't show up, they sucked.
Yeah,
but these people there, like, make them laugh. They're there. They're not there to get berated.
And sometimes those crowds are awesome. Yeah. Sometimes you do a show for 14 people. It's like the best show.
I did a show for two people up the street here. What's the, is it Garden Theater or Greenview?
Oh, yeah.
So
Green
there's,
Theater.
Yeah. And the
Victory
theater,
Gardens.
Yeah. But the theater...
It's huge.
No. It's a small little theater, but there's one room that holds 150 people. But it's
like a theater.
Yeah, it's a square. It's a square stage, and then each three sides has 50 people, so it holds 150 seats. And there was just two people there, and then the staff and the other comics. It was like the dude had like the most pimp date ever. Like, I rented a theater and I got a 6 comics, babe. And we went up there, and it was legit fun. Like,
yeah.
You had to acknowledge that there's
sometimes
only two people.
Sometimes it was fun, yeah.
Yeah. But once they do it, it's like, oh, they're into it. Let's go, you know?
Sometimes, and that's the thing, like, and sometimes if you can't get, it's easy to crush when there's 300 people on a Saturday at Laugh Factory.
Because you only need 100 of them laughing.
You only need 20 of them laughing, really.
Right, and then it just triggers.
To think you crushed.
Yeah.
But to make 14 people laugh in a small room, it's hard. Mm-hmm. But you can't be mad at them.
Right,
and
I would never
you
berate
shit
the
on them, and you make fun of them, and you call them the R word. It's like, dude, there's
not
still other
it.
Comics after you because
they're not getting your joke. Like,
maybe you get better.
Right. See, this is why we bully. This is why people think we're bullies. We're like, man, fucking get better.
What we talked about with Adam on this podcast, Adam Burke, and Dwayne and I talked about it too. Dwayne Kennedy. I don't tell comedians who have bad sets, good set afterwards. I feel like that's bad.
I don't say anything.
I just walk away. Like, I just don't make eye contact.
I say it to you just because I know you get down. But, like, I don't want you, like, go home sad. You're like, oh, I'm going to go eat a sad burrito. Like, no, I want you to eat a happy burrito, you know?
But I just remember, and it stuck with me. And I remember, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I said my New Year's resolution is to not encourage bad behavior. And so Adam told someone who just ate a dick at a show.
Yeah.
He said, hey, good set. I was like, don't do that.
Right. Like, just don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Now that guy, and especially at our level, the people are like, oh, wow, he thought I had a good set.
All
like,
right.
No way.
It's a quick story.
Remember that.
Quick story about Adam Burke. We were sitting at the bar at the Laugh Factory, and a comic comes in, and they're like nervous because they're doing a nasty show, which is like a tough room to begin with.
Yeah.
If you're not experienced. And I guess they were recording a set for SNL is what they wanted to do, right?
At the nasty show?
Right. So me and Adam are like, because they were like, well, you know, I don't know what I should do. And I'm like, well, just do the set you wanted to do. You want the tape anyway. Like, who cares? This is a nasty show. It's not going to make or break, whatever. So me and Adam both encouraged this person to go and do it. And then they went up, and it was an SNL, like, character audition. The nasty show, which is... Like they want,
it's a hard row.
Like you're doing characters. And you're like, what the hell is happening? And me and Adam were at the bar watching on TV, and I was like, fuck, I didn't know they were gonna do characters. I would have told them not to. I would have told them to do something different. And then me and Adam were like, oh shit. And then like they got off stage, and we just looked. And I was like, yeah, that was rough. I'm like, hey, you know what? At least you got that bomb on film. I was like,
now you'll know.
Right. And I was just like, I didn't know you're going to do characters. That was bad advice on my part. I didn't know, get the full story, but it was just watching like 6 minutes of them. Like,
did they get it?
Putting on SNL? Glasses. Like, nah, like just, no.
Are they on SNL? No.
No, they're definitely not on SNL right now.
It's like, and that was Chris Redd.
That was Sarah Sherman. No.
I think that the biggest thing is, when people, like, if you say something, and especially at Dwayne's level, maybe not our level, but like, I always remember when a comedian that I respected said something nice to me.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
Right. And that's why I just don't say anything. And if it was a good set, I wouldn't even say the set. I would just be
You've never said good set to anybody.
I have. If they got on stage, like, that was a good set. Like, but also what I do is like, man, I like that joke that you did, blah, 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 blah.
That's how you help them.
Yeah.
If you care.
Like that one joke. I like that,
that one joke.
Right. And the rest of it was kind of like, but no, there's been times where I was like, man, that was a really good set, where I was like, oh, I got to follow this person. I was like, that was tough.
I did a show tonight, and our mutual friend, Sarah Perry, came up to me after the show. She goes, I laughed so hard at your new joke. I'm like, which one? And then she's like, I go, that's like 2 months old. She's like, oh, that's the first time I heard it. I'm like, we've been on shows.
Yeah.
Where you did. She goes, I really like that joke. That's the funniest thing that's the only time I've ever laughed at your joke. I'm like, all right, just stop. You could have just said that was a funny joke.
I was enjoying that joke. No.
Yeah.
But I said that to you the other, last time we worked together, you had a funny joke. I was like, oh.
That was funny.
Yeah, I was like, the other 29 minutes.
We've done so many shows together that are like, I wish I could go back. I should have written down, but I know we recently did a show together that was like hard, and I can't remember what it was.
Was it the old people in Indiana?
That was fine for me.
It was
fine. Like old people. Yeah. Old people's my demo.
Yeah, you definitely get it. I think
we did a show in another old show. Oh, old crowd in the suburbs of Chicago. You do a lot of pot jokes. And I was like, these guys, they're all like, they're fucking 80 years old. They're like,
they all get
he's
high.
Talking about marijuana.
They all get high.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, the one we did in Indiana where I did a period joke, and I looked at the audience like, oh, you remember your periods, right? Like, and like the crowd, and one guy yelled outside, he's like, know your audience. I'm like, I do. Like, these people have not had a
Someone
period.
Someone yelled that?
Yeah, it was some guy off the side. Oh. But I was like, none of these women here have had their period in like 20 years. It was so funny because even my girl was in the back. She's like, you're an asshole for that one. I was like, whatever, man. Like, they laughed. They all laughed. Yeah, it was good.
That was a good show.
Yeah, they all laughed.
But
what I like. When you make old people laugh, like, if I'm doing a show with old, like, older crowd, and I see the oldest lady in a room laughing at, like, a fart joke, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, there's no reason to hold back.
Yeah.
Like, don't be vulgar, but, like, you could talk about a lot of stuff and they're going to get it. Like, that one old lady's cool as hell. So
old she makes people, the thing that I always tell when there's going to be old show, older crowd is, I'm like, I say be cleanish, but it doesn't mean that you have to be clean. It just means like, you got to be smart with what you're saying.
Yeah. Just don't be vulgar about it. Yeah.
And also, like, they've heard everything.
Right.
They were alive. Yeah. They probably saw George Carlin when he was fucking
right.
10.
They saw the Depression. You know, they saw people eating dirt.
They
like,
want to
yeah.
laugh.
Right. I'm trying to forget.
They've got, like, a few years left.
I'm trying to forget that shit.
Yeah, so you got to just be good.
And most of them have Alzheimer's, so nothing they're going to remember.
They're not gonna remember a joke, yeah.
Where am I?
Like, that's true. You could just do old jokes from, like, old, like Eddie Murphy. They're like, I've never heard that before. Yeah. Okay, so... now let's go. We still don't get an answer in your thing. So how'd you get it? So you snuck into the Laugh Factory.
All right.
That way. And you were doing shows. All you were doing were like Mike Yeo shows and bar shows. Then all of a sudden Laugh Factory became your home club, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. When did that happen? It was after me.
That was like 2013. So okay. It was like 3 years in. Cause,
it was like same time.
Yeah. Because I was doing a lot of the Mike Yeo shows and then, for whatever reason, I kind of stopped. And then, well, actually, I think I got into a relationship and it was just causing problems. Like, oh,
you used to work there,
who?
Right? You had a relationship with someone that worked at the bar.
No.
Oh, okay.
Never.
Okay, never mind.
No, this was when I first started, like someone I met through the Mike Yeo shows.
Gotcha.
And then it would just be like, why are you out so late? And like, oh, you don't understand.
This is what we do.
This is what happens. Because I wasn't aware of how it happened either. You know, because I would try to be home to go to work the next day. And then once I quit my job, that's when the Laugh Factory, I got passed at the Laugh Factory. Or not passed, but that's when I started at the Laugh Factory.
Vulturing.
Yeah.
Vulturing spots.
No, I started vulturing early, but I think once I quit, it was just like, all right, Abby's here every weekend or every other weekend, or at least on one of the shows this week. Like,
so you're talking about the late night thing, which is also, are you still a night owl now?
I am, but the problem is I work in the mornings.
Yeah.
So it's like, now I'm like at 12:31, I'm up, and then I just kind of like then I fall asleep. But then things like I'm so far behind on sleep because I gotta wake up at 6. So it's like I'm only getting 5 hours a night. But
how do you function? But you're doing jobs that you don't have to.
Yeah, take. It's not like I'm not doing a hard job, but it's just what I'm used to though. As far as going to sleep, I've always gone to sleep late. Like even as a kid, I was like 10:30, 11:30.
Me too.
And then, you know.
Your parents just let you? Your mom?
Well, so my mom worked retail. So she would work till like 9 or 10 sometimes and then wouldn't get home till about like 11. So when she did get home.
What's she doing with those 2 hours? I'm just kidding.
I ain't gonna lie. Like she was. So I'm trying to think like at that time she was like in her 30s. So it was like, I think about single what I was mom, doing in my, single mom in her 30s with a kid that, and like in the 90s, if the kid was 10 years old, he could be home by himself all fucking day. And that's pretty much what I was. Like, I'd wake up, I'd go to school, then my mom would start working in the afternoons or something.
Did you eat dinner late at night when she came home?
And that's how I got fat as a kid. Because like, the only thing that they'd be open was fucking Burger King. So I got fat off those chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
And that's still like a comfort food for me is like that.
The old school chicken sandwich, the long one?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were
good. Because all it is just that salty piece of chicken, breaded chicken, mayonnaise, and lettuce.
Yeah.
And it's like, for whatever reason, when it's hot, it's the perfect sandwich. Like, you can't.
It's pretty good.
For me, it's my perfect sandwich. Sucks that their fries are so bad, but.
I was on a kick where I was doing Burger King a lot for like 3 months on the road because it just like I was so sick of McDonald's. So I was like, I got to switch it up. Their double cheeseburgers are still amazing and they're open later.
For Burger King?
Yeah.
No, McDonald's is 24 hours. Burger King's not open later.
That's true.
But I don't know. For whatever reason, I eat McDonald's now and is hands down the driest food. Like
what are you getting?
I'll get chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
And then I'll get, what is that? The double cheeseburger meal sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Or like a bacon McDouble. Ugh. So it's just like the bread. I don't know. It's just so dry.
Well, we're probably also eating it later. So it's been sitting out for a while. You're not eating it 7:00.
They're not
o'clock.
Made to order?
They are, but they're sitting under those hot lamps.
No, I know. But for whatever reason, like the last time I ate McDonald's, it was just like, this is so dry. I can't eat it anymore.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm done. I'm ruling out McDonald's forever.
So your mom would she pick it up and just bring you Burger King after she came home from work?
So let's say from the streets, my mom was
you're like, Mom, Macy's close, right. Marshall Field's close at 9. Why are you here at 11:30? She's like, don't worry about it.
Where did Hickey come from? Who is this guy?
You're calling out your mom.
Yeah.
How many different uncles every week?
that's just my mom's friend.
I think about that too because I date a lot of women who've had kids and they're like, God, I've been like the Uncle Paul for so many years. Like,
see, that's gross.
This poor kid.
Like how? That's, yeah, I.
It's how gonna be you, worse when you see them.
All right, real quick, how quickly into like dating these women did you meet the kid?
I usually try to avoid it, or they try to avoid it.
Yeah, that's smart. That's a good parent.
They know that they're like, this guy's not going to be around. Right. Like, yeah. They usually don't introduce me till like about 6 or 7 months in, but sometimes you accidentally meet them and they're like, what are they going to say?
Sneaking out in the morning, stealing his fucking, hey kid, I got this Go-Gurt. I'm out.
Strawberry. Don't play with that. That's dirty.
Don't kiss your mom in the mouth for 72 hours.
This is a PG show, you idiot.
Yeah, pretty gross.
Okay, so you were, what were you doing
nothing on
when
that.
You were a kid? Right. Doing at 10:30 when you were a kid?
Like I was watching TV? Watching reruns of like All in a Family, Sanford and Son.
Sanford and Son was great.
Mary Tyler Moore show.
It's a lot. Have you watched it lately?
No.
Fucking amazing.
It holds up?
Holds up. It's better writing on that show than anything on TV. I never watched it until after COVID.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It was before our time.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's the thing is I didn't have cable. So I was stuck on channel 26. It was basically Our Nick at Night.
26 like was the Hispanic channel, right?
No, it's WCIU. It's always been like a rerun channel. So you like,
I thought it was 32 was WFLD.
Right. And then 26, I don't know what it was called 50, back in the day.
We didn't have 50.
50 was like basically the CW type shit.
We didn't have cable until I was in high school, but we didn't have the antennas, so we couldn't get 50 or 26, but I could see 32. It was like, it was like snowy.
And then, and I was even like, so I would even watch MASH in the mornings.
Wow.
I for whatever reason, I liked MASH. Like everyone else.
My brother's favorite show. It's
everyone says it like is boring. Like that was the time you knew to go to sleep was when MASH was on. But the problem is like I didn't have that structure. So I just watched MASH. And then I think
you didn't
know
what was going on, probably, did you?
What?
Like there's some heavy shit that we talked about on that show.
That part I missed, but like there was certain parts that like was just clever. Like the wordplay, whatever. It just like I've always been a fan of like cleverness in writing, and like that's why I love like a Tarantino movie.
Why don't you use that in your comedy?
I don't know, dude. It's so hard. None of it suck in. It's like the fucking chicken sandwiches.
So
the chicken sandwiches ate away at my brain. I'm just sitting there like, I should be able to know how to do it.
Totally. Yeah, I thought I love Sanford and Son. I used to watch late night. I like talk shows a lot. You're talking about Seinfeld?
Yeah, Seinfeld.
The music?
Just the music. And then it was just like, oh, that can't.
You can't.
Like,
it goes while you're falling asleep. Yeah. It wakes you up.
There was one time like I was trying to have sex but with the TV on and Seinfeld was on.
The bass line comes in.
And that is literally like if you find a girl that can still have sex through this music of Seinfeld, break up with her immediately because that means
creepy.
Yeah, just the noise that it would make. It was like bang, bang, and then like you know you're just trying to be romantic and then you just hear George complaining. I'm like, all right,
it's a bomb.
I had to
killer.
Turn it off. Right, yeah. Not even that. I mean, it was just like if she goes through with it, and it's like, all right, she's for the streets. Don't fucking don't need to fuck with it. Like that bass line is just too much.
I was watching the show. I don't know if you remember this, but it's so bad. Called Benson.
Oh yeah.
Seinfeld was a writer on it. That's why he went out to LA like his I think like for a year I was on it. But he didn't help the writing whatsoever. It's just one of those horrible sitcoms.
Now that I'm watching him, like Seinfeld was not the quality, like it was all Larry David. And then
the writing?
Yeah, the writing is like the show fell off once Larry David left. But like even
I like the Kramer.
But like like just watching how like the bits he would do in the beginning, I was like,
oh yeah, yeah,
these
yeah.
are bad. Like there was only one of those bits actually made me chuckle. Everything else was like, this is fucking
I always
bad.
Thought that I thought that that was setting up the show. I always was like, oh, maybe this is going
to
be.
It was supposed to be,
but it didn't really.
No,
sometimes it did
because I guess the basis of the show was how a comic gets his material through the day, and that's why those jokes led like the first episodes, they led to the show, but. They told the story of the show.
Right. But I remember watching Seinfeld on the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, this guy's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, just like the Superman mask bit with the Halloween.
Yeah. All that shit. Because we're kids. We're like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
But I watched an old Carson recently where he bombs and Seinfeld looks over to Johnny. If you did well, Johnny would invite you back.
Yeah.
And he just saw, and then Johnny just goes, like gives him or he gives him like one of these, and he's like, "Oh wow, I did bomb." And you could see Jerry's face being like, "Maybe it was a crowd, but I remember whatever."
Mm-hmm.
He can't. He did that show so much.
Yeah.
So fuck him. So what do you do now when you after a show to like, are you like productive after a show or are you just unwinding because you're still wired after a show?
Yeah. So after a show, if I smoke, I'll like if it was a really good show and I was excited about it, I'll just start like writing tags in my head and then just saying them into my phone. And then
at right after the show or while you're still at the venue?
No. So while I'm at the venue, I'm usually just hanging out,
yeah,
doing whatever. And then once I get in the car by myself, I got a nice buzz going. Then I'm just like, oh shit, like this, I could say this, blah, 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 blah. Or I have this joke that I could start writing.
So you, when you're buzzed, you come up, you're more creative, or when you're high?
Both. It's a combination of both.
Really? That's impressive.
Yeah. But see, the thing, like, that's the thing, like, I liked about getting older is like, I know what my limit is as far as like drinking. So I don't get drunk and I like, so I can still function. I still have a good time. And it's like, it helps fire up my brain a little bit.
So you're not doing shots anymore. That's when you.
No, if I do a shot, I'm not having a drink. Got like it. I'll substitute.
I stop shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you write these tags in the car.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing after that?
After that, I'll watch TV or I'll just play a game, and then, which is bad for you because then your brain's even more active.
Like you're playing video games?
Yeah. So it's like, then your brain's even more
it's
fired
up. It's like
the
downfall of society, I feel like.
Nah, it's fine. It's just keeping people at home. That's all it is.
Okay, but what do you, have you ever written material based or while you're fucking playing games or about the games?
No.
Okay, so.
I mean, it's just, it's a time killer.
It is a time killer.
Yeah, do you write jokes about the TV shows you watch?
Talk about something that happened and you're like, oh, that happened to me, but this is why it's different than 1967.
Sure. Okay. Oh, so you're using old bits and just updating. Wow.
Just updating old bits. Yeah.
Is this in Cincinnati?
A radio show? Yeah, no, that's WKRP. And I was trying to think of Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, okay. It was a callback, my bad.
Sorry, you didn't get it. I'm the king of callbacks, I've realized. I'm really, that's the one gift I have. And it, whether it's a, I don't know if it's a gift or a curse, but I can listen to someone's set and I can come up with like three callbacks for you and then to relate everything back. And I could do it too for me, but I realized now if I forget to do the joke before.
Right, that's the problem with callbacks.
It's such a fucking lazy thing, but it's also a good, like, if you need a buttonhole for a set, especially if you're doing like a late night set, 5 minute set, or you're doing a special.
Yeah, callbacks are always.
Yeah, it's a good way to close everything out.
But
crowds love it. Old crowds love it.
Doing a callback, talking about the callbacks, the very first time I headlined and sold tickets for my own Mike Yeo show, like it was just me. And then
the one that you bombed that I was at?
No.
That's a callback.
But so I wanted to make sure I had all the jokes written out. So I like printed them out in big font and just taped them to the stage, like just bullet points. Yeah. So I never looked at it because, like, you know, I was just flowing. And then I'm starting to get to the closer and I'm like, you know, that muscle memory kicks in where you're talking, but you're thinking of, like, what the next thing. And I was like, hey, you never set up the callback. That's your closer. So
that's the worst.
Yeah. So I had to, like, I had to just randomly pivot into this thing. And it felt very unnatural for me, but the crowd never, you know, understood or didn't notice. So I was just like, fuck, I barely saved it. That was the only part of that set that I was upset with, was like, damn, I got all the way to the end and I never set up the callback.
I did a show Sunday this week, where I was doing really well. And it was a great show. And then I was closing out. I did it, and it didn't get a huge pop. That I was usually, I'm like, oh, I didn't do the fucking setup. And then I was like, they still laughed, but it was like, they were like, it was like a weird, like, oh, we thought, because it was like setting them up. Like there was like pop, pop, pop. And I was like, this is going to go great. And then it didn't go. I was like, what the fuck? But you forget, especially when you're working on new shit, they're like, oh shit, you don't even do.
Yeah, I don't even do that other joke.
Yeah, and it sucks, but you got to do it. You got to do the callbacks. But yeah, I feel like it's a curse, but it's also a blessing. I did a show recently with a comedian. I was like, you can do these three callbacks. Like, holy shit, I never thought of that. But like, that's all I can do. Yeah. And I saw a friend of mine who just did a late night set, and he used the thing that I said to call back. I was like, see, fucking, for those 5 minute button, like to loop it all together.
Yeah. And then he sent them an invoice for
like $20 Venmo. Yeah. But I watched a show recently on the road where a bunch of newer comics were doing sets, and they're just, I was like, oh my God, you're missing like the easiest fucking thing. Do you ever hold back on giving people stuff?
No. If I think it'll help them. Yeah. Because I'm never going to use it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, here.
I used yours that you gave me recently. It didn't work. But now I just do it as a middle spot. When I do the pods joke, you're like, She kicked you out of the house, but
The
driveway.
Yeah,
it didn't work for a while, but now when I put it in between stuff, I can like make the joke longer.
Yeah,
if it's already crushing.
I thought it was a great line. Whatever.
I thought it was good too, but I think it's like it's too smart familiar.
With you don't do smart audiences.
That's all I do.
You're not the academics.
I one time I gave someone something and. As soon as I did, I was like, I shouldn't have done this. I thought I was going to get canceled because it was a woman comic.
It sounds like your sex life, too. What's up? I gave this woman something.
And then she called me when she went to the doctor. No, I was like so worried because I was like, oh, man. Like, and this was when things were like touchy in the Chicago scene where people were like worried. And I was like, oh, shit, she's going to say that I mansplained something. I was like so worried.
Oh,
it was a long time.
I mean,
this person doesn't do comedy anymore, but I was like, man.
Yeah, I've had that where it's like recently I was like, hey, I liked the joke, but like try this phrase in the middle of it. And they wrote it down. I don't know if it's just a line that I think, you know, would work.
I always just say, can I give you something before?
Yeah.
So it's not like unsolicited.
Right.
And if they say no, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, that's what happened is. I said, can I give you something? And they go, no, that's okay. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And this person doesn't do comedy anymore. But I was like, oh, my God. For the next day. I kept checking Facebook. I was like, oh, shit, are they going to say
that's
that?
That's hilarious.
It was like someone that, I was like so worried. I remember checking Facebook for 2 days being like, she's going to say something.
My best part, my favorite part of that is like, no. She's like, I don't want
she
anything. Say,
she was like, I was like, like it was like a bar show or some shit.
Oh.
And so now whatever. I'm always like hesitant to say something. But yeah, I always feel like some of that shit, it's easier for me to write for other people than for myself, I think. Where like, do you have like a favorite late night hang place or late night food places?
Late night food places, taco spots are usually pretty good. Usually find there's
which one besides the Yende.
No, I don't go to that one. I used to go to the one that's over on it's a taco burrito house on Elston and Kimball, and then I'll do a White Castle every now and then.
Talk about dry, that shit's dry.
No, it's so greasy. It's so good.
It's like you're getting waterboarded when you eat there.
And then as far as bars, I'll just find me a dive bar, like any place that only accepts cash. It's usually a pretty good hang.
Makes sense.
Because you get a drink for like $4.
Fair.
Yeah.
Abby, we have to cut short because we're having technical difficulties, but it's already been 40 minutes.
Has it?
Yeah, it goes
feels
fast.
Like forever.
Two best friends start fucking talking. We didn't address our beefs. I don't know if we had.
We had to do a part two.
No, the one thing I will say is that when I found that picture of you where you're wearing all purple.
For context, it was when the male romper was coming out.
Yes.
So I decided to create one with a pair of basketball shorts that I had.
It was purple.
It is a purple.
And then I put a picture of you next to Grimace.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
And it was the best burn I've ever had on you.
Yeah.
So anytime you start shitting on me anywhere, I'll just find that picture and I just post it in the comments.
I know.
You're like, fuck.
Right. I just don't even say nothing. I don't even bring you up anymore. Like Paul Farver's dead to me. Fuck that guy.
I love it. I love it. I've been canceled. Abby, where can people find out more about you and your upcoming shit?
Find me on Instagram and TikTok, Abby Sanchez Comedy.
You're on TikTok?
I'm barely on TikTok.
Abby Sanchez Comedy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Abby, for coming on. I appreciate it. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
It's all good.
Thank you all for watching or listening to another edition
of Shout Out to All Two of You.
Why Are You Awake? Shout Out to All Two of You. Did you say?
Yeah.